It is Mother's Day, and we want to celebrate the women in our lives, how important they are. We have some carnations in the back for all of the women in the church, whether you've ever been a mom or not. If you'd like a plant, please take that home with you. I've never been a mom. It's an earth-shattering statement. I know that got your attention right there. But I know it has to be tough. So I thought the best way for me to communicate to all of us what moms go through every day, because for some of us, we are clueless. I thought the best way is to give a visual demonstration. Say today that the people in America today are more visual than ever. They learn things best by a visual demonstration. So I've asked Tony Picone to help me with this demonstration. Tony? You know, you just stand wherever you want. You're fine, okay? Maybe that way. So if Tony's going to be a mom, he needs to be dressed like one. He wants some advice from you women how to put it on. I think it's backwards, but... idea of what our life group is like every Wednesday.
It's like a shirt, Tony. Look around. There you go.
See, all the mothers are in.
I don't put dresses on every day.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
All right.
Now,
his wife has some lovely hair. Isn't that one hot mama? All right. Now, every mom has to have a child. Now, I want to tell you, this is absolutely true. Tony and his wife waited 20 years to have a child. This is their daughter, Brenna. So Tony, I need you to hold your hands out. So, yeah, get your hands out there. All right, one of the things you're gonna know, Tony, is that every child has a diaper bag, okay? For cleaning up both the front and the back, okay? And when they get a little bit older, they have a backpack. And then, Tony, you have to understand there's going to be laundry. I want to ask you, Tony, how do you... I'm going to lay that in your arm right there.
Got it?
All right, every child needs to have a toy. So, Brenda, you get to hold the toy. And, you're going to have to go to work, Tony. So here's your computer... take with you, and that's right, that son you're going to have is going to have guitar lessons. And you're going to going to have to get some groceries. Got to feed these kids. Okay, that hand right there. And there's going to be a lunch box. These are new fashion lunch boxes. I need your finger. There you go. That'll work. And then, Tony, after all, then you're going to have, you know, one son's going to play the guitar, but Brenda's going to take up softball, so you need a bat. I think I just hit him in the face. I'm going to ask you that, Brenda. You all right? And then, Tony, you're going to have to get yourself in shape, because after all those kids, you know, you got to get in shape. So I got a racquetball and some tennis shoes. You doing all right there?
Oh, I'm struggling a little.
He's struggling, and you got to cook. Fed in the word. So how you doing, Tony?
Woo! I'm struggling.
You're struggling. All right, let's give Brenda and Tony a hand. Yeah. Can you help me get the door? Next time I'm going to put high heels on him. That gives you a picture of what life is like for our moms. It's a struggle on a lot of days. You do your best to juggle things, but your arms get weak, and soon something is dropped or forgotten. We do the best we can to be a super mom, but we get weary. And single moms know that feeling even more so, as they are often overwhelmed with the struggle. Most days, moms feel like it is a struggle to keep up, to stay up on top of things and meet all the expectations. You know, we watch TV and we see all those expectations of what that mom looks like, and we think, oh my gosh, I'm really failing. Their arms get weary and they don't feel that they can get the job done. Their situation is not much different than the story of Moses. Moses had his act together. You know, he was a man's man. He looked like Charlton Heston. That's a joke. Charlton Heston played Moses in the movie, okay? He was a big, strong guy with a powerful staff. He threw it on the ground, and it would become a snake. He'd pick it back up, and it would become a staff. And people would say, wow, Moses, you're amazing. During the time of the plagues, he would wave his staff over the Nile River, and it would turn the river to blood. And they would say, wow, Moses, you've got your act together. You are such an amazing person. When they were going to flee from Egypt, they came to the Red Sea, and he held his staff up. The waters receded, and they crossed free to the other side. Pharaoh's army comes, and they're swept up into the waters and wiped out. They get thirsty in the wilderness. He smacks his staff on a rock, and water gushes forth. People are just going crazy. Moses, Moses, you're just such an amazing guy. And then it brings us to our passage today. I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus 17. I'm going to read verses 8 through 11 through 13. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand up on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up the staff, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so the hands would remain steady till sunset and the staff would remain high. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. When we look at particularly verse 11, as long as the staff was held high, as long as his arms were up, they were winning. But when his hands grew weary, they would lose. That's how some of you moms have felt, if you're going to be honest. Some days you're winning the battle. Some day you feel like a super mom, and other days you can hardly keep your hands up. Then we throw expectations in, especially those, as I mentioned before, that have been cast upon us from the TV. And we think, what a failure I am. Look at her. She does all that work, comes home, fixes a meal for a king, juggles everything so nicely, gets the kids bathed, tucked in, laundry done, and her hair is never out of place. And our moms say, wow, what a failure I must be. Then you look around, you see the soccer mom who's had five kids and she still looks like a beauty queen. And the PTA mom and the mom who never misses a child's game, concert, recital, or dance. And you wonder, I must be a colossal failure. You're tired and you can't keep it up anymore. And you're feeling the struggle even greater because you are a single mom. Our daughter-in-law, Lacey, raised two beautiful children as a single mom. I can't believe what her days must have been like. How weary her arms must have become. She did a two-person job all by herself. Some of you moms are in that same boat today. The struggle to keep your arms up must have been at sometimes unbearable. Some of us feel like we're never going to be a mom. For you, it's a different struggle. I mentioned that Val and Tony waited 20 years to have a child. How frustrating those days must have been. How difficult Mother's Day services must have been to come in and know that not you. Some of you feel that. That's why we don't honor just moms. We honor all women. I had a lady in Australia. Her name is Jenny. It's not her real name. She told me it's the worst Sunday of her year. She can't come to church on Mother's Day because she's never been a mom and she's probably not ever going to be a mom. And I am thrilled to say today she does have a child. Some of you are thinking, I didn't have a super mom for a mom, so I don't know what it looks like to be a super mom. My mom was a piece of work. She was here and there and everywhere. And so for you today, it's a struggle of a different kind. Some of our moms can relate to what Moses felt in verse 12 when it says he soon became tired and could no longer hold his hands up. There comes a time when you just drop your arms and say, I can't do this anymore. I'm not Martha Stewart. I'm not a super mom. I just can't do it anymore. One thing moms need to hear is that the heap of expectation is impossible for any of you to do by yourself. Let me say that again. The one thing moms need to hear today is that the heap of expectation is impossible for you to do by yourself. The responsibility for life that moms has is often beyond what they can handle. The same was true for Moses. Moses needed help. And today, our moms need help. And those of us who aren't moms, we need to hear that message. His arms grew weary. Aaron and Hur came, and they stood on one side, and they stood on the other side, and they held his arms up, and they held the staff high. And that's the picture I want you to see, is that Moses' hands were held high the entire time because someone came on his left and someone came on his right, and they held his hands up so he wouldn't become weary and he wouldn't drop the staff, and the battle was won. There are two truths, very simple outline today, two truths that come alongside moms today. First truth is this: moms, you need to know that you are appreciated. You need to know that you are appreciated. I did a little Facebook poll this week. I asked moms in the middle of the week, what's the one thing that they wanted on Mother's Day? There were many answers, but the predominant answer of all of them was, I want to be appreciated. They need to know that they matter. Husbands, children, brothers, sisters, you need to let mom know that she matters, that you appreciate it. We do it first by our words, by our encouraging words. Mark Twain wrote, I can live a week off of one compliment. Your words can build up or tear down. So choose your words carefully. Every preacher has preached a Mother's Day sermon on that great passage from Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. In fact, I preached on it last year. I also sang a solo, which I'm not going to do today for you. It paints an unbelievable picture of women. She's here, she's there, she does everything she gets. She's just a super mom. And some women feel depressed when they try to compare themselves to that lady in Proverbs 31. You can read the passage. But I want to focus on the very end of the passage, verse 28. I want to read it for you now. This is what Proverbs 31:28 says. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. She is blessed by her children and praised by her husband. How many more Proverbs 31 women would we have if we were Proverbs 31 husbands and children who tell her that she's the best, that she rocks, that we don't even have the words capable to express how great she is? You have no idea how important it is to your mom, to your wife, how much they need to know that they're appreciated. Now, I want to speak to the men in the room for a moment. Women, don't tune me out, but get your elbows ready. Men, put myself included, we need to praise her more. We need to put her on a pedestal more. She needs to know that you revere her, just like, as Gary Smalley said years ago, just like you were holding up a Stradivarius. That's how you need to look at your wife. She needs to know that. Your wife or your daughter has a tender heart, has the tender heart of a woman. And our words can crush that heart. We can damage that heart, or we can build it up and encourage her. You can be one or the other. We need to be the one holding up one of the arms. You have power in your voice to belittle or to build up. Your words matter. She doesn't need another attack. She doesn't need words. What she does need are words that soothe her tired, struggling heart. Not just today, but every day. If you want a Proverbs 31 wife or mother, then you need to be a Proverbs 31 man. It's time to step up to the plate. If I were to ask the young people in the room who KD is, the young people would tell me Kevin Durant. Those of us who don't follow the NBA basketball don't know who Kevin Durant is, probably. Kevin Durant won the most valuable player in 2014, playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is his acceptance speech of the Most Valuable Player Award.
One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture. And we just all sat in the living room and just hugged each other. Because we thought we made it. And when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. And you wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
There's a Proverbs 31 mom because she has a Proverbs 31 son. She raised two sons as a single mom, sacrificing everything she had for her two sons. And they praise her. But not only do we hold our mom up with appreciation by our words, we do it by our deeds. Now here's the reason why I wanted the kids to stay in the room. Because I'm going to talk to kids now for just a minute. And you parents, make sure that they're taking notes, okay? Many of our kids have grown up thinking mom is a chauffeur. She's the chef, she's the banker with unlimited funds. That cracks me up, but that's so true. She's the nurse, she's the housekeeper. The list goes on. Kids, you want to tell your mom that you appreciate her? Take out the trash without being asked. Wow, she'll go crazy. You really want to go over the top? Feed the pet or empty the litter box without being told. Pick up your stuff. Wash the dishes after dinner. Turn her life completely over by what you do. When she starts cooking dinner, you do the most amazing thing. Go set the table. It will freak her out. You see, when we show acts of kindness to our moms, two things happen. She realizes that she's appreciated, and you realize your mom works her tail off every day. So we hold her up that arm, but now we come to the second arm, Moms need to know that they are loved by God. They need to know that they are loved by God. While the first arm has everything to do with expressing appreciation for the work she does, the second one has nothing to do with what she does. It has only to do with who she is. God loves her regardless of what she does. It's simply because of who you are and nothing to do with the role you have. Until we let that sink into our soul, we will not find ourselves. We will find ourselves continually trying to meet expectations of others. You'll run the rat race trying to get approval of your husband, your coworkers, your parents, and always feeling like you don't measure up because no one can live up to the expectations. But here we are, the one thing holding up this second arm. God loves you. God loves you. You are his child. You are the apple of his eye. My wife has a very short bucket list. You know, everybody has a bucket list, especially as you get older. Things you want to do before you die. The only thing my wife wants to do before she die is to go to the Holy Land and be buried in Christian baptism again, rebaptized, in the Jordan River. And I was reflecting upon that the other day, and I said to her, you know, it's amazing that in Matthew 3, when Jesus was baptized in that same Jordan River, the voice of God was heard, and what did it say? It said, "Well done, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And I want every woman who is gathered here today to know that those are God's words for you. "Well done, my beloved daughter. I am well pleased." You are his beloved. You are his beloved. He has loved you not based upon what you do, not based upon what a great cook you are, or how organized you are, or how clean the house is, or how whatever. It's not based on whether you have your act together. It's rather on one thing. You are his beloved daughter because you are his daughter. And you need to know that. We're in the midst of a series on identity crisis. We preached one and we took a break today, and the rest of the month, the next 3 weeks, we'll be back in identity crisis. And I want to tell you the one area that Satan gets particularly at our women is in the area of identity. He gets them thinking all the time they're inferior, that they don't measure up. We cannot let the voice of Satan define us. The only voice that matters is the voice of God that says, "You are my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." Let that voice define you. Have you ever traveled on a plane, sat next to a guy who pulls out his laptop and on his screensaver's a picture of a child or a picture of the whole family, and the worst thing you can do, I'm just telling you right now, the worst thing you can do is lean over and say, "Oh, what a beautiful child." Because for the next 30 minutes, you're going to get a pictorial directory of that child. Because he saved every picture on that computer of that child. Am I wrong? Do we not have every picture of everything our children do on our little phones? Well, I want to tell you, on the screensaver of God's computer, on the screensaver of his heart, is your picture. You are his child. And just as that father would be so proud to show you all the pictures of his child, God's up in heaven right now showing your pictures to all the angels. And they're going, "Oh, I've seen that picture before. Oh, okay, God, I've seen that one before." God gave us two truths, one for each arm, to hold our arms up when we're weary, because life's a struggle. We appreciate you, and God loves you. Before we sing our closing song, I'd like to Kirk didn't know that I was going to do this, so he kind of stole my thunder, but it's okay. I'd like all of the women in our church to stand up, if you would. Now, I want you to hoop and holler and cheer like you just won, like Kansas City just won the Super Bowl, okay? Yeah, let's give them a cheer. Yeah! They are so blessed. Now, I'd like to ask all the rest of you to stand, and I'm going to have a prayer over all these women. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we do so appreciate your beloved children, your daughters, how they touch our lives every day. And Father, we know that for them every day may be a life of struggle, and I pray that we can come alongside them and encourage them and inspire them and hold up their arms when they're weary. Father, I'm grateful that you love them and that you love each of us here today. Regardless of what we've ever done, regardless of where we've ever been, regardless of what we've ever accomplished, or whatever sins that we've done, you still love us. It doesn't change. We can't escape it. And so, Father, we find power in that. And I ask your blessing upon these women today, that they might know that they're appreciated and they might know that they're loved every day of their life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Our closing.